So let me start this morning by asking you and sparking your imagination with a question. If I could give you one wish this Christmas, what would you ask for? Now, don't rush for the 75-inch LED TV or the trendy boots that everyone's wearing, but whatever your impulse drives you toward, think about it for a minute. If I had the power to grant you one wish for Christmas right now that really brought you joy, what would you ask for? If we went around the room right now, there'd be many different answers to that question, right? It kind of depends on the mood you're in when a question like that gets asked of you. That maybe it's immediate need that you have. If I told you had a week to think about it, you probably would come back with a different answer for each day that you from what you have in your head right now. It's a big question. Anything. Only one thing. I have no idea what your answer to the question is. But I wonder if the answer for many of us doesn't have the same thing in common. Let me put it this way. What if I could grant you, wait for it, more time? Think about it. Time is everything. If more time was on the table, would you dare pick anything else? We've been obsessed with time since the beginning of time. Think about how much of your days are consumed with time. When do they need to be dropped off? What time is the meeting start? What time should I wake up? When's the game on? When does the new season come out? What time do they open? When will it be here? What came to mind for you? Maybe your mind turned to spending more time with your family. Maybe it's spending less time with your family. I don't know. But maybe it's seeing your grandkids because they live far away. It could be more serious, like having your loved one back again, or if you're facing a health concern, that it just goes away. It might be more trivial things, like going to do some sporting event or getting the stuff done on your to-do list, a dream vacation, maybe more money. All of that has to do with what? Time. More time with family, more time with loved ones, more time with memories, more time to live, more time to enjoy life. Time defines us. Yet time is the one thing we can't get more of. We can only lose it. Oh, that's depressing. Let's keep moving here. We don't have time. The last couple of minutes just thinking about time is time you're not going to get back. It's why we're so intrigued by movies about time travel. It's the thought of escaping the thing that controls us, where we can have things the way we want it and when we want it. It breeds this unhealthy spirit of impatience that many of us feel inside, especially this time of year. It's the feeling, why not now? Yeah, see, it took too long to do that. You're welcome. You may not realize that you're asking that question, but examine yourself. The spirit of impatience is what drives many of us. It certainly drives us in the world around us. Who remembers 3 to 4 weeks for delivery for stuff in the mail? Blah, right? Well, who has time to wait weeks? How about 2 to 4 day delivery? Nope, still too long. I don't have 2 days. Next day delivery? That's not fast enough. I want it now. This week, major retailers put out their notice of when stuff needs to get ordered to be guaranteed delivery by Christmas. And we stress the final hours and minutes until that package arrives, hoping that it's on time. Well, think bigger. What problems present themselves that we want solutions to, and the problems just don't go away? When your shoulder's sore, your bones are aching, or your head won't stop pounding, we reach for products that relieve the pain now. We buy products that get here the soonest. We look for the fastest GPS routes. We look for travel, the air connections that are shorter. We want what we want. We want it now. And what is the result? If I can't make more time, I'm going to cram more into my time. More tasks, more events, more places, more things. Now. We're obsessed with time. Let me ask you again, if I could grant you one wish, what would you ask for? You probably never really thought about it, but time plays a very significant role in the Christmas story. One of the most popular characters in the story are the Magi. Sometimes they're called the wise men, sometimes they're called kings, but a real accurate description of what they were was astrologers. They studied the sky to see what the stars were telling them. And one time they noticed something very peculiar. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Have you ever been out on a late winter night and gazed up at the sparkling stars of the sky? I think my favorite place to do that was when I was in pest control. I was up in Grayling, and there's no light pollution there, and it just like the stars grab you. It's so beautiful. And I think when it's cold outside, we miss a lot of those kinds of magical things because we want to get inside. There's just something about that clear night, though, that opens up the mind to wonder if you take time to notice. And the Magi saw something. That's an important part of the story that we're going to come back to in a minute. But if there were other people who missed it, including another nefarious character in the story, you've heard of this guy, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." You can just see him twisting his mustache when he says that, right? If you don't know the story, Herod's motives for finding baby Jesus were not pure. See, he was threatened by the potential of a new king being born, and he wanted to get rid of the competition as soon as earthly possible. But it's in this part of the story that we're introduced to the obsession of time. Because notice it says Herod wanted to know the exact time. Notice the Greek word that is used there is the word chronos, or chronometric time. That's the steady chronology of days. In other words, it's the time that continues to tick that you don't get back. Do you know how we discovered chronos time? You guessed it, by studying the stars. It's fascinating how big and vast our universe is. Stay with me here. There's no slides. You're just going to have to trust me. This is Fun Facts with Steve time. You ready? So did you know that Pluto, since it was discovered in 1930, has yet to complete one orbit around the sun? Pluto orbits the sun every 248 Earth years, and it will complete its orbit in 2178. By studying the stars, scientists know this. Okay, let's bring it home. Our complete measurement of time is based on what? Our planet, right? When the Earth completes one rotation, it's called a day. When the moon completes an orbit around the Earth, it's called a month. So how many days does it take for the Earth to orbit the sun? Don't answer yet, because I have a commercial break. We're going to celebrate the trip around the sun for three people. First of all, Jim's birthday. He's celebrated an unspecified number of days around the sun. Colin, I'll specify because it's public knowledge, he's celebrating 21 times around the sun. That's 21 years, if we haven't got to that point yet. And certainly not determined number of that will happen on Tuesday, but Cynthia will celebrate an unknown amount of times around the sun on Tuesday. Yet to be determined, probably not out loud, right? Okay, so the answer is how many days? Okay, that's right, but to be specific, the answer is actually 365.25 days. It's that precise. Do you know it's so precise that we have figured out that we need a leap year every 4 years to what? To stay on time. That's right. Even that's not precise enough. Do you know that there are some years where leap years are skipped? I'm telling you, this is you can go, you know, fill your beverage now at this time. This is Science Facts with Steve. Here's the scientific equation. And I'll send this to you if you don't get it right away, but I think this is interesting. If a year is divisible by 100, but not 400, that leap year is skipped. So the last leap year we skipped was the year 2000. No, that's why there was a leap year in 2000. But it means the next skipped leap year will be 2100, because it's not divisible by 400. Okay. The whole reason for all these details, the whole reason humans figured this out was to know the exact time. That's what Herod wanted to know. When exactly did this happen? That's what the world we live in. We obsess it. It drives us. It's the time that comes and goes. It's chronos. But unlike English, there's another definition of time that shows up in the New Testament scriptures that the Greeks used, and it's the word kairos. Kairos is the right or critical time or opportune moment. Isn't that beautiful? It's the right or critical time, the opportune moment. Now, kairos is a totally different dimension of time. It's that moment in which something of dramatic importance occurs. It's God's dimension that's not marked by the past, present, and future. You see, God and the heavens are outside of our dimension of time. God just is. But that doesn't mean that God in the spiritual dimension doesn't crack into our existence in time. Let me give you a couple examples of kairos time found in the scriptures. When Jesus is first introduced and is beginning his ministry, his cousin John the Baptist notices the significance of the moment, and he says this: the time, kairos, has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Here's another example from the Apostle Paul. As he's describing God's unconditional love for us, he writes this: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, kairos, and died for our sins, died for us sinners. Notice that just as the scriptures describe both Jesus' entrance into our dimension of what is happening in his death and resurrection, these are seismic moments that just can't be missed. You see, kairos is about something momentous, not merely momentary. God taking the form of a human being and entering into the flesh, into this world, is the most monumentous event in all of human history. His birth, his death, his resurrection are honored and celebrated because they are real. It's not an idea. It's an actual occurrence. We should pause and reflect on the privilege of being able to notice it. That's the difference. Chronos is the time that will pass without any power to influence or change it. Kairos, moments come with the power to influence and change us. Just sit on that for a second. We'd be wise to learn how to notice these moments. Maybe the question is, we should be asking ourselves, in the busyness and chaos of our impatient world, how do I live a kairos life in a chronos world? The simple answer is to be present, to take notice. In their examination of the stars, the Magi noticed something that they knew was different. It made them drop everything. Time and tasks and responsibilities could wait. There was something significant that was happening that drew their attention, and they were drawn into it. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and had come to worship him." God was speaking, and they noticed. That's kairos. You can see or miss those moments, especially if we are focused on only the chronos of life. Pastor Ken texted me this last night, and I love this illustration of it. Chronos explains the number of breaths that you take in your life. Kairos are the number of moments that your breath gets taken away. You like that? That's pretty simple. That's pretty much the whole sermon right there. Doggone him, right? He's cute, he's funny, and he's smart. Don't tell him. We'll take that out of the recording. But chronos is the number of breaths that you take. Kairos is the number of moments that leave you breathless. Herod and others were obsessed with the exact time, but not the Magi. And when you notice kairos moments, it's as if time stands still. Kairos moments give us a glimpse of the other side. It's like we peek around the corner of eternity, like we're pulling the curtain back to see the wizard. And it's here that we get to see how God works and perhaps understand what he's saying. Think about your favorite vacation. I know we've often complained about how fast time flies when we're having fun, but what's ingrained in your memory about that favorite vacation? It's those moments burned in your brains like a picture. I know that you know what I'm talking about. You can see it. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can smell it. It's time that never goes away. And we long for those moments again, those Kairos moments. Think about the birth of your child. Think about their first steps or their first words. Or it's their first game or their first concert. It's the moment you see your daughter walking down the aisle as a bride. It's time that is so precious. I mean, it truly is priceless. There's no price you can attach to that. I would venture to say we'd pay an arm and a leg if anyone could deliver that feeling at the snap of a finger. But that's not how it works, Kairos. But think about game nights and holidays, joking around with friends, joyrides in a car. It's those moments when you can be your true self, sitting around a table, a television, or a fire. It's that time filled with laughter and silliness. That's Kairos. I discussed with our men's group yesterday morning that I had that freedom to laugh and share everything with them. And those are Kairos moments for me. It's 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. That's the Kronos part of it. But the Kairos is things that I can't get rid of in my brain. It's playing catch with your dad. It's feeling safe in the arms of your mom. It's when you see the goodness of humanity in the midst of the brokenness and darkness of this world. It's when that prayer is answered. It's the moment your faith went from here to here. Heart is here. Heart's here. Yeah, head to heart. It's even the moments when you're on your knees, you're helpless, and you feel the tangible presence of God. His presence, His peace, His comfort. That's Kairos. Kairos moments have the power to change us. Okay. This was a slide that was developed to drive you crazy. There it is. There it is. We turned up a little bit. We miss so many of them, these moments that have the power to change us, because our obsession with time, the tasks, the calendar, the expectations, the work. Time is ticking and it won't stop, so we don't stop. If we're honest, all of it creates stress and anxiety and pressure. That's what ticking clocks do. You can't fall asleep. Ticking clocks add to the frustration, right? When the clocks tick, it makes us antsy, makes us anxious. Maybe you felt that during that brief amount of time. If you're running on empty, if your patience is short, if you're struggling to find joy, perhaps you've focused on the lack of time that you have. And when your focus is on that, we miss the moments where God may be speaking, where a door might be opened. Don't get me wrong, I know things need to get done. I know this is a busy season. I'm not saying disregard your responsibilities, but I'm positive Kairos moments are all around us. I'm positive of that. If we take the time to notice, and if I could grant you one wish, what would you choose? You know, the story continues. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. The Magi noticed their Kairos moment, and it changed them. How? They were overjoyed. They weren't just joyed. They were overjoyed. And I promise, if you notice yours, you'll be drawn, and they have the power to change you. So what am I asking you to do? In the busyness of this season, in the rush of our world, in the impatience of your spirit, the best present you can give yourself this season is to be present. Let every bulb, let every light, let every tree, let every bough, let every bow, I should say, let every present remind you to be present. Cherish the moments over the tasks. Celebrate the feelings over the accomplishments. Slow down. make time to stop time and see who and what is around you. Ask God to open your eyes to the moments that are around you right now. Ask for your star to follow. Seek it out. And when you do, I promise you, God will do the impossible. This Christmas, it will be as if time stood still. Amen? Father, thank you for this time together, this Chronos time, and thank you for this Kairos time that we learn that there are things around us that bless us and give us joy. Help us not be so swept up in the Chronos that we miss the Kairos. We love you. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.